try to outrun each other, and you'll find out that the faster you run, the slower you finish at the first, the slower you finish at the end. If you've never been in oxygen debt, this is an experience that you don't want. You'll see some horses that have been in oxygen debt, and they don't want it any longer. So they don't try to win. They found out a long time ago that they still got their buckets of oats. Win or lose. And they don't want to experience this oxygen debt. I was probably one of the most cruel track coaches in the country. Because I put my kids in oxygen debt 3 times a week. Every day. And not once, but 3 or 4 times. I had quarter milers run 330 yards. And I would put them completely into oxygen debt. I have seen them run 330 yards as hard as they could run and fold up. Now, people, I'm talking about folding up and screaming for breath. Can't breathe. Now, that's cruel. Say, get up. Get up from there. Walk. These were girls. They walked right back and they would run another one. They would run 6 of these, 6 times they go into oxygen debt. People would tell me, say, Coach, when your girls get that straightaway, they ain't, if they're in lead, nobody catches them. If they're behind and people slowing down, they better watch out, because those are the strongest finishers I've ever seen in my life. They beg me, Coach, let's go to as many track meets as we can go to, because they go run 1/4 of a mile. Was a lot easier than trying. A lot easier. Why did they do it? Because they were winners. And we had tradition. They grew up. They said, hey, looky there, Laurie was in the Faces of the Nation or whatever it is in Sports Illustrated. Wow, look at that. We won 6 straight state championships in cross country. 6 straight years we won the quarter, the half mile, the mile, and the 2 mile relay. But never won a state championship for the very reason I didn't have any sprinters. And these were not default winners. They were conditioned runners. Yes, they dreaded practice. Yes. And I wanted them to dread practice. But they didn't. And this is why I respect the horses, and especially the horses that are really, really trying to win. I am probably, no problem about it. I am the world's worst exacta player. Why?
because this horse that finishes second in many instances isn't trying to win. He slips in there and beats someone that is trying to win. When he does finish second, he's tried to win and somebody like Unbridled has beaten him. And I'm not very good at picking these type horses. I could, if I would get more serious about it, I hit about 30%. But I know where, I'll be honest with you. I've known who's going to win the race. I've been knowing who's going to win this race. I'm going to put four or five horses with him and hit this exactly. I'll be danged if I don't throw out that horse that's going to run in there second and miss that danged exactly. I've done it to people. So I said, hey, if I'm playing a $2 exacta and I got $5, I'm playing $2 exactas and I got five horses, I'm going to put with the winner at $10. And you're only hitting 30%? That ain't a very good investment. It'd be better to put that $10 on the other horses, on the horse's nose. What I want you to really truly do is try to learn what a horse race really is. How many have the matchup manual? There's a lot of things in there that are good. You say, well, I don't know how you did this. I don't understand that. I still get called, Jimmy, how did you get this horse? How did you do this on this race? I said, that's 3 years ago that I wrote the matchup. I can still get the horse, but it may not be what I said. I said, I had a guy write me a letter. I said, well, certain race, Churchill Downs, there's a difference in what you said in the book and the track record. There's certain something happening here, or something here, or something here. So I wrote him a letter. It was really rather nice for the mood I was in after reading his letter. And I said, try to understand the concepts and don't pick holes in it. And I say this with the Cajun and energy. Try to understand what it is doing and what is happening. And don't pick holes in the methodology. Make yourself a better handicapper. So if it takes teaching the matchup in conjunction with the Cajun, I'll teach certain phases of the matchup, if this is what it takes. Because I want you to be winners. Howard wants you to be winners. All of the Purple people want you to be winners. No, I can't, right now, I can't teach. How do I know that a 22.45 110 is going to run 5.1 first 330 yards and 6.1 last? I can't teach that right now to you. But I can teach you. But how can you get the internal fractions at collar turf races where there's no internal fractions? I can do it. All I need is one time. because I have done. Probably one of the greatest challenge to a handicapper is to know when a 6 furlong horse can go 6 1/2, when it goes 7 furlongs, or when a 7 furlong horse can drop back and win at a 6 furlong. You know, this is a hard adjustment to even think about making. I will teach this later. I will, in the matchup reality of horse racing, it will be in there. Say, well, how do you know that it is accurate? Well, because I have done it for years, but then after I started writing it, I worked 1,000 races. From the result chart. Of 7 furlong races and 6 1/2 furlong races. And never missed what that horse really ran the 6 furlong in, because that's in the result chart. And you know, that's pretty powerful. When you've got a matchup can predict this, and you can put these figures into Cajun, wow, you know, this is going to be something. Showed it to some of my people I work with in Oklahoma that Howard has dubbed the Oklahoma Mafia. And they said, Jimmy said, aren't you afraid to give this out? Aren't you afraid to do this? I said, nah. Because people are not going to believe me anyway. They're going to say, well, you know, what does he know? He's a picker. He ain't a handicapper. Because I completely ignore class. I completely ignore jockeys. I completely ignore trainers. I've heard people say, well, look at this horse. He's a going up in class today from $20,000 to $30,000 in class. Boy, here this horse. He's in class. And he's a better horse than this $20,000 horse just because of this two-level rise in class. And three races down, they came out of the same tandem. So this is why, yeah, but I'm a picker. I've never been called traditional. I've never been called mainstream. Jim Quinn told somebody, said he's the best picker I've ever seen in my life. They don't mean this derogatory, I don't reckon. But you know, if I have to do what they do and lose 17 in a row, I'll forever remain a picker. I'm sitting at Expo 90. I'm sitting behind one of these so-called experts. He's got a lady sitting by him. And this race runs.
Jimmy, did you have that race? I said, yes, I did. I said, there's my ticket on the winner of the race. She said, that is my horse. I said, oh, you bet it too. She said, no, it's my horse. I own the horse. I said, well, great. I said, did you bet pretty good on it? She said, I didn't bet it. I said, why? She said, so-and-so told me it wasn't going to win. I said, really? She said, I cheated. She said, I put it in an exacta and won the exacta. Well, I didn't play the exacta, but, you know, said it was overmatched. I was playing the other night in Las Vegas, and it's night racing. And I played three winners in a row and walk away. This guy that was with me that is staying out there, I said, well, that's really nice. I said, what track were we playing? He said, it was Meadowlands. I said, oh, I thought Meadowlands was running buggies. He said, no, that's what you were playing. The next day, I play Philadelphia Park, Aqueduct, Hawthorne, and Hollywood. Simultaneously, and I don't know which track I'm playing. I have no hang-up on the track. Well, this track favors early. This track is a sustained track. As long as you believe that, you're going to zigzag in and you're going to zigzag out. Matchup of the race determines how that race is going to run. And I have said this for 5 years or longer. Elton Smith is a good friend of mine. Elton Smith went to the fairgrounds one time, and he said, you know, they got out there between every race and changed that track. Honest, he said. They got out there and they took that rover or that thing around there and they changed that track. I just looked at him and I said, really, that helped me? I don't force anyone. I don't force anyone to believe this. Say, well, phase three, I keep a ProHammer module, I do all these things. That's the way you're supposed to learn the methodology. They say, do you believe in a model? I said, yeah, both models. You know,
What do you think about a model? You know, I've got to really be kind of, I'm really, you know, I can't tell you what I'd really like to say. I said, well, let me ask you something. You make up your own mind on this. First race, you've got 10 horses. All these horses have 10 lines. And they've never faced each other. At every race that they have run, there's been 10 horses in the race. How many horses are you looking at? Wow, you know, thousands of horses. And you walk up there and you say, hey, Factor X won this race. Race number two comes up. We've got 10 horses, 10 lines. Each of these lines represent 10 horses that have never run against each other before. Thousands of horses. And you mean to tell me you're going to bet Factor X? Because it won the first race. You're destined to lose. Yes, it's a model is good to interpretate so that you can interpret what you have. It's a learning process. So, well, Jimmy, I really rely on a model. I know that it works for me. It works for you, fine. Part of the methodology, I don't knock the methodology. In my type of handicapping, it doesn't work. I could not. No way in this world. No way. Could I walk up and say, first race was won by Early. I'm going to bet the Early in the next race. No. If the matchup says yes, then yes, I could do it. But the matchup tells me how this race is going to set up, how this race is going to run. Well, I said, Jimmy, do you think that some tracks are more sustained than others?
Sure.
The contour of the track causes this.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that a sustained horse is going to win all the time. It means that this horse is going to have to carry his energy further. And all the horses in the race will run more sustained due to the contour of the track. Due to the racing surface of the track. That's why Howard asked you how many of you was more inclined to Tom Brohammer's type of handicapping. He kind of warned you that, hey, a cowboy, he does things a little different. Not just a little, a lot. How many of you use energy? How many energy users? You know, if a Farragut is right over 60% of the time using energy. And his Farragut is right around 60% of the time or higher. Okay?
dang accurate that it, a program that is predicting how the race is going to set up and run in advance before the race is run, you know, this is going to tell you something that there's a little bit to what that cowboy is saying that is true. How many are using KGN? It was designed to use in conjunction with energy, but a number of people have talked to me and they said, Jimmy, I've just started using KGN as my handicapping program. I said, hey, that's fine if you interpret it and understand it. That's a way to do it. Because it can be used as that. They say, well, Jimmy, what do I do? I'm a phase three user, or I'm a synergism user. Can I use KGN? Sure, you can use KGN. And a lot of these people are the ones that are really finding, hey, I don't need phase three if I'm going to use KGN. It wasn't designed to not to say use it alone other than with energy, but Michael Perry is using KGN and not energy, and having lots and lots of success, but he can't interpret it.
Can I get my energy running out?
Probably not. I wouldn't think so.
Win it back.
And I wouldn't say to, you know, a lot of people use the energy to just verify which of the grants to use. Right now, what I've been saying, if you're using it to verify what the grant, there has to be a little bit of truth that these horses are predicting how this race is going to set up. Wouldn't you kind of think so? The other day over at Remington Park, I showed a couple of Oklahoma Mafia how to use this, how to do this ciphering to get these times. And we've got this little filly coming out of a 7-furlong race that's going to go into a 6 and 8. So I said, now what we got to do, we got to take it all the way back to 6 furlong and find out what it can do the 6 furlong in, and then extrapolate it out to where it can do a 6 and a half, and do the same thing on the other horses in the race. There's one horse that's run and won off of a 109, 6 furlong. There is another horse that has won off of a 109.4, and another horse that has won off of a 110.1. You know, you look at this, you say, hey, look, that 109 horse is going to beat everything in the race. Ain't nobody can run that fast. Look at this speed rating. I said, I want you to take this horse back to 6 furlongs, this filly. I already knew the horse was going to win. Or felt that it would. I mean, that's what I'm going to bet. I said, now, after you're through everything, I said, the track was exceptionally slow the day she ran. So we got to make a little bit of track adjustment. And Tom Hamilton will show you some of that today. I showed the guys how to do this. This little horse was predicted to run a 107.4, 6 furlong, a 114.1, 6 and a half. A 107.4 and a 114.1, 6 and a half. The horse off of a 109 was predicted to run a 115.1. The horse that ran a 109.4 was predicted to run a 116.1. The horse that ran a 110.1 was predicted to run a 114.2. Wow, God! How does this happen? Can't be right. Can't be right. But the guys don't argue with me. We just go up and we, that's the race. It paid 12 and change, and the filly beat the guys. So, you know, that makes me a picker, because fillies don't beat the boys, but fast fillies do. And lo and behold, you know what the race was running? 107.3. The 6 furlong and the filly leading, and a 114.1. He said, well, Jim, that's something. He said, let's do this one. We got a 5.5 horse going 1.7 miles. First time on the turf. Okay. I showed him how to do it. Predicted a 142.1. They bet it, and I didn't. I said, you know, there's too many ifs on that race for me. I don't think I'll play the race. It's a nice race. You know, dang horse run for one on the turf for the first time and a 142.1. You know, that's just one rung up the ladder from voodoo. I think Einstein was the first one that said that. Five races that day, get hit. I showed the guys how to do it, and they're betting two horses. I won't let them bet one. And five of the races, they predict the exact time that the race would be running. They have run them through cage, and I just wanted to get a little bit of practice on this. So this is something that you can look forward to in the future. They said, my guy said, Jim, won't you put that in a program? Said, yeah, uh-huh. And, you know, maybe sooner or later I will, but I'm going to have to talk to my friend Michael to see how to convert these times back from like a 70.4 to a 110.2. We have put the multiplier in the new version of KGN. Dick had a little program that was in the follow-up. That was pretty good if you knew the multiplier.
But so many times this multiplier changes. I think even Dick said he had to change it, what, already for Hollywood, Dick?
Change it for East and West Coast.
For the East and the West Coast, he had to change it. And the multiplier in KGN is a universal one. When I say universal, I mean that it will work on any track. How do I know this? Well, we have tried it on numerous tracks. Dick had not, he hadn't seen the program since the multiplier was put in. There was a race yesterday at Hollywood Park that a sprinter stretching out won. And he worked the race.
We'll show it to you.
And we'll show it to you because it got him. There was no doubt.
Why don't we take a break and turn on the machine and show it and stuff?
Take a break and then take it.
Did you say nice?
Yes.
And if someone in the back of the room will turn down the light, don't turn it off. Drop it a little bit.
You can't do that.
Now turn up those on the side because people didn't see this one. Okay, now can everyone kind of see the form and kind of see the screen?
Yeah.
Alright. Now how many of you are brand new to KGN altogether?
Yo.
Well, we ought to walk them through just straight over to KGN now. I like it is it has a huge mix. We've got routes from Hollywood and Santa Anita. We've got a one turn mile from Hollywood. We've got a sprint from Santa Anita, a sprint from Hollywood. This is a very mixed bag, and this is the kind of race that most handicappers out of the track have a lot of trouble with. Now in this case, they didn't think they had a lot of trouble. They landed with both feet on rack, our Argentinian entry. When we were doing the master class in Vegas, Michael was very strong on Charity and Kiss, and highly annoyed at rack for beating him in that race. But the crowd has made rack a 3-5 favorite. And that's one of the things you have to deal with when you deal live handicapping. Is what kind of price you get. What I'm going to do, if I can remember how to do this,
look at this over my shoulder because my screen is going up there. This is the the Kinetic Generator, for those of you who've never seen it. And basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through it and put in the following horses. I'm going to use Completed Cord. I'm going to use Bee's Luck. I'm going to use Ryan's Grandma's Grand Mass. I'm going to use Venturia, and I'm going to use Rat. Those are the five horses. If there's anyone here who wants to make a case for another, we can type it in real fast. But
why would you use Desert Semen?
Why wouldn't I use Desert Semen? Because I thought the horse was too slow.
Okay.
If you want to use him, you certainly can. I'll tell you how I pick contenders in this race. I use phase one numbers. Phase one puts him four lengths back. He is a horse that wants to lead, has a slight chance of getting it, but not really. He's compromised by Bee's Luck. And he does not have the third fraction. A number of you have used the third fraction program. He just doesn't have it to, and you can by, if you want to put him in, I don't know if you made this a terrible mistake, but I'll tell you, if you want a classical handicapping reason, here's a horse playing for 16. They don't try to run him back while he's in jail. They wait out the jail period, and they bring him back at 16. That's not a maneuver you do with a horse that you like. Now, I don't pay a lot of attention to trainer maneuvers and such like. I pay much more attention to the fact that the horse is four slow. If he was four fast, then I'd be really having to think about it. But as you'll see with Raph, he is one of the fastest horses. But Desert Scene, that's just a pattern that it doesn't make sense. If you buy a horse for 16, there's only one reason in the world. You don't buy a $16,000 horse for breeding. You don't buy him for any other reason than to make a buck with him. That's a money-making animal. And the only thing you can do with that horse is get him out onto the track again. The logical thing is you take Desert Scene October 18, you're claiming by October 25, he should be back in the $20,000 race. That's what every trainer on the ground will tell you what they want to do with their claim. Get them back on the track the next day. As soon as possible. And eliminate Desert Scene. Mostly because he's slow, but also has a negative pattern. The underlying bedrock of all your handicapping decisions should be pace, or pace handicappers. And to me, that horse just doesn't make
it. I'm early. You didn't take that one? It's got an average of 82 speed rating in those three races.
I make him 7.7%. I make him 6 lengths back at the second call and losing one or two to three other horses. No, I did not take him. Now, again, if you want to go after horses like that, you can make some cases. You can go back to say, well, Lovamax has a good race back what there on December 89, yakety yakety. I'm early.
He's misnamed.
This particular type of race, you want to be real leery and not just throw a lot of horses in. One of the things you got to know is you can just glance at this race and in the first 10 seconds, one of the things you should know is you're not going to use automatic adjust. So this is a two adjust race. You've got two sprinters, three routers, and all three routers are coming from different tracks.
So you know that you're going to use two, so you don't want slow horses. You don't want to boost slow horses.
Okay, so what I'd like you to do is just do a simple, quick matchup between Rack and I'm Early. Or between Venturia and I'm Early. And see how they compare.
Rack and I'm Early are coming out of the tandem.
Absolutely. Yeah. How many races, how many was he beating?
Matchups, right?
Seven.
Seven.
that's a toss. One of the things that that you'll find when you work in a race that's already been run, I can tell you, I guarantee you, I'm really going to run one. When you're doing live races, it's a whole other ball game. We'll do some this afternoon. When you're doing live races, I'm early can scare you, and you have to be careful with it. But what you have to do is make some decisions. If I'm early wins today, I'm going to lose all my money. Decision. And I threw the horse out. He did not make it into my machine. Any horse, I have five horses that I think will hit the board. That's my determination. If it's not in the machine, I'm betting against it to win, place, or even show.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I'm early, you can eliminate I'm early on the basis of the fact that it doesn't match the tandem concept.
Absolutely. We pointed that out.